Father, this morning, God, it's good to be here. Surrounded by people of faith. Your church. The church that you have created here at Common Ground, God, we are just gathered together in your name. We're here to celebrate your name. We're here to celebrate your word. And God, we want to celebrate your word through obedience. We want to celebrate your word through faith. God, that when we read your word, that we don't just say amen, but we apply your word to our lives, God. We act upon your word. God, your word tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please you. Your word tells us that apart from you, we can do nothing. God, so that we know that we live and we breathe and we have our being in you and through your word. And we rejoice in that, God. We are gathered together today because of what your word has done in our lives. That it has made strangers family. We come today because, God, we just know that we need to be together. We need to hear from you. We need to be accountable to one another, God. We need to just build this unity in this body, God. We fall into the same word as we go out and we go into the world, God, that we just know that our brothers and our sisters have heard the same thing and they have our backs as we walk this life, this difficult life. God, I've discovered in my journey, God, that the Christian life is the hardest life to walk. So much easier before I knew I was a sinner. And God, I just know now I need a Savior. And I am so grateful and I am so thankful to you for you. And God, it's so wonderful to know that you created this living organism where we can lock arms and we can walk together and we can see each other's growth and we can be encouraged by each other's growth. Those little nuances of the faith that we pick up on because your Spirit dwells in each one of us. And it builds us up, God. This morning, as we break open your word again, just build our faith again, God. What we've been looking at and how we've been sort of trying to make our way through why we struggle in our faith and maybe why we don't grow the way we desire to grow or why we give up so easily, guys. We've been looking at these messages, and my prayer is that this will be an encouragement to us, and it will sort of help us drive a stake down in our lives, and that we can lean on each other so that we won't be the same this time next year, so that in 5 years when we look at ourselves, we wouldn't even recognize that person today. We wouldn't even know who they were because we grew so much. May that be our story. May that be the hunger that you put inside of us, Father, the passion. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. My throat is just, forgive me. I've just been going this little thing, you know, for the last, I don't know how many weeks. No, I do not have the coronavirus. Don't worry. I just have a dry throat and I have allergies. It's just very rough. I don't know what it is, you know. But, you know, you can hear me and understand me. I'm sure it'll be just fine. So we're in the midst of a series that I'm calling 2025 right now. And it's a series that's looking forward and not looking back. A series that's looking forward and not looking back. Over the last couple of months, we have been looking back. We've been asking, am I the same as I was this time last year? And so we look backwards into that and we said, why am I the same? Let's evaluate that. Let's see, maybe there's some things in my life that are making me fizzle out, quit too soon, you know, get stagnant, give up too easily. And we kind of looked at those things and said, maybe it's this, maybe it's this. And you can go back and listen to those series and maybe catch up with those things if you need to. And then we looked at some things we need to put in our life, some attitudes we need to put in our life, some realization that we need to put in our lives. And now in this series, we're looking forward. We're moving forward. We're looking ahead so that we can become the people that God wants us to become. And the question I asked you at the beginning of the series was, how old will you be in 5 years? And it's sort of a somber thought, right? It makes us take evaluation of our lives. It makes us look at ourselves and go, will I be in the next decade? And that's a somber thought, right? If I'm in my 50s, I might be in my 60s. If I'm in my 40s, I might be in my 50s. Whatever the case may be. And it kind of makes us take stock of our lives, evaluate ourselves, and say, what am I doing with my life? And what am I doing with my relationship with God? If I'm the same as I was every year before, even though I had intentions to be something else, something more passionate, then what am I doing that's not getting me where I want to go? And where will I be in 5 years? Who will I be in 5 years? And we kind of looked at some different things and said, you know, it's amazing what we can accomplish in 5 years. Do you know that if you are the laziest person on earth, that you could still run a triathlon in 5 years? Not tomorrow, not in 5 minutes, 5 days, or 5 months, but in 5 years. If you change what you're doing and you begin to pursue the thing that you know you need to pursue in order to achieve that goal, in 5 years, you could literally run a triathlon. You could learn a language fluently in 5 years. Fluently in 5 years. As you look at 60 months and the consistency and the incremental growth in those areas will produce the results that you're looking for. What about your Christian life? Who could you be in 5 years if you were just incrementally consistent? Let me ask you a question this morning. You've heard it before, so just give me the answer back. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's right. Now, some of you are looking at each other and going, I would never eat an elephant. Right? But it's one bite at a time, right? We've heard that before. That's what our Christian lives need to be like. One bite at a time. God just wants you to get up today and take a bite. Taste and see how good the Lord is. He is good. So get up in the beginning of your day and say, God, just today, give me what I need for today. I want another taste of you today. I'm just going to be passionate. Forget the lists. Forget all the goals over here, the man-made stuff. I mean, they're good in a way, but they can also overwhelm us. How many of you have ever planned to read the Bible in a year and have never done it? Okay? You know why? Because you're looking at the deadline. We were talking about this at lunch the other day with some of Scott's life group, and we were talking about that very thing. And last year, I'll be honest with you, last year is the first year I have actually read the Bible in an entire year and got it within the year. Now you're going, don't misunderstand me. Your pastor doesn't read the Bible. That's not what I said. I said in a year. I like from beginning to end in an entire year. I didn't go one day past. 32 years. I actually got it in 1 year finally. I just committed. Like, I know I want to get hung up here and I know I want to stay in James for a while. Nope, can't stay in James. I'm going to read my Bible in a year. And it was amazing. And I read it chronologically, which even made it more amazing. You should try that. But there's a Bible reading plan on the back of our scoop sheet. You know what? I would love for you to read it in a year, but I don't care if you don't. Don't quit. You're like, well, I'm already 2 weeks behind. I'm already a month behind. So what if it's a year and a half? You still have done more than the vast majority of people have ever done. Read the whole Bible. Sometimes our man-made goals throw us off, and they overwhelm us. And then we just quit because we're overwhelmed. And the thing is like, if you're going to quit at 3 months, when there's 9 months left, then, I mean, you're going to waste 9 months. So what if you only grow 6 months out of your 12? You grew 6 months. Don't quit at 3. Amen? Let's stop getting overwhelmed by these goals that we set in front of us. And yet at the same time, keep fresh in our minds that I do want to be a different person in 2025. So just get up in the morning and take a bite. Get up the next day and just take a bite. Get up the next day and just take a bite. God will do the work if you'll take the bite. How many of you have ever overeaten? Don't lie, but the rest of you put your hand up, right? You know you've overeaten Christmas. All your favorite foods come in, and what is it about Christmas? You know, when the food's just laying around, you keep going back and going back, whereas when you're served a meal, you don't do that. You just graze all day long, right? And because it's all your favorite stuff, you're eating, and you're eating, and you're eating, and you're eating, and you're miserable, and then you see the cheesecake. And you didn't bring the cheesecake, so you know the cheesecake is going home with whoever brought it, so you have a piece, but you keep your eye on it all throughout the day. You're miserable. Like, you can't even absorb, like, the food's just going to go straight through you undigested. It's like your body can't handle it. But before they leave, you're going to get another piece, aren't you? Okay, thank you for those of you who are honest. All right? That's what we do. We overeat. I knew a person one time who was very involved in the things of the Christian life. And this is the person who probably went to like 4 or 5 Bible studies a week. And that's great. But here's the problem with it. If you're doing 4 Bible studies in a week, when do you have time to chew on what you're reading and learning? You're educated, but it doesn't mean you're godly. You're smart. You could probably teach, but you're not godly because you're not chewing it. You're not absorbing it. I mean, I got to study today because I got a Bible study tomorrow. It's like a cram, 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 cram Bible study. And what, I got another next day. So we're going to go to the Bible study, go through the motions, answer everything right. And then tonight, I got to do that one. Study, 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 and go to that one. When are you putting it into practice? You have to take it off your plate, put it in the waffle box over here, and start again. It's crazy. That's one of the reasons why we don't have church on Sunday night here at Common Ground. It's not because we're lazy. It's because we want you to chew on what God says. And so we go long on Sunday morning. If you're new, get ready. We don't do it in 30 minutes. But I don't have you come back tonight. Just chew on God's word. Let it roll through your mind, through your heart. Let him speak to you about it throughout the week. Don't get overwhelmed, because being overwhelmed tends to make you a quitter or you don't accomplish anything in your life. Turn, if you will, this morning to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the 5th book in your Old Testament. And what I want to do is read you a couple of passages this morning out of the Old Testament that mirror each other. Because I want you to see the consistency of God in what he says, and then understand the consistency that needs to be in our own lives. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. 5th book in your New Testament. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. If you went too far, you're in Joshua or Judges. Just go backwards. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, what we see here is that God has just given Moses the 10 commandments. And then he's going to make this announcement. So this is early in their escape out of Egypt and heading toward the promised land, okay? Very early in, they've just crossed the Red Sea, and God speaks, and he says this, and we're going to start in verse 11. So he's going to say, therefore, what is therefore about? What is it therefore? What he just said, he just gave the 10 commandments, okay? And this is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 11. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks in the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. So he starts off by saying, when you follow me, I will bless you. That's how it works. If you want God to bless you, you have to do what? Follow him. We call ourselves what here in this church? Christ followers. It's the same word as Christian, but it's just a little more profound. It's a little like when you tell somebody you're a Christ follower, they're going to be like, oh, it sounds more serious. It's the same definition. But in the American culture in which we live, we have watered the word Christian down to just meaning that you're American or you go to church or you're a good person. I mean, that's really what people perceive. But when you say I'm a Christ follower, you just stood up. And people are going to take notice, okay? So God says, follow me, and when you do, here's the God I'm going to be to you. It's a good thing. Remember, they are heading toward the promised land. They've been removed from Egypt through all these miracle signs and wonders, and they're heading to the promised land. And God has made a covenant with them, and he's given the 10 commandments, and he says, this is the God that I am and will be to you. Pick up in verse 16. And then he says, you must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity, and do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. So now we see the what we perceive as the mean God, right? But it's not. These people know who Israel is. These people have heard what happened in Egypt. They have heard the mighty signs, the wonders, the miracles. And here's the thing. They have a choice whether to serve God or not. That's their choice. And if they don't serve God and they choose to reject God and they ensnare people, God's going to push them out. God will never make any of us be a follower of him. But if we are going to be a follower of him, he says this is what it looks like. And so now he comes to Israel and he says, you're going to enter the promised land, and they don't know it's going to be 40 years down the road, but you're going to enter the promised land, and when you do, don't associate with the things that are going to snare you. Think about your Christian life. What are the things that ensnare you in your Christian life? Is it popularity? Looking a certain way? Hanging around a certain crowd? Is it money that, you know, is driving you? What are the things that are preventing you from going all out with God that actually have a hold on you? And that's what he's saying to these people. He's saying, don't get ensnared by these people. When you enter the promised land, push them out. Don't go, oh, but they're so cute. Right? How many times do we do something like that? We'll say things like this. It's not that bad. Well, the minute you said it's not that bad, you know that it's bad. Right? And I'm not going to tell you how to live this morning. That's God's job. And he's really good at it. Right? But the things that ensnare you, the things that cause other people to trip up, the things that create tension in your life, where you're torn between spiritual things and worldly things, that's God, like big red signs saying, stop, stop, stop. The things that ensnare you, he says, don't be involved with those things. Push them out of your life so you can follow me. Amen? Amen. And that's God's job to do that in us. And he does it really well. Really, really well. Let's continue. Verse 17, and you may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You saw with your own eyes what great trials, the miraculous signs and wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all the peoples you now fear. Have you ever felt like something was too big for you? Then why are you trying to tackle it? Right? At some point, we've got to turn it over to God. It's already ensnared us for whatever reason. Probably because we dabbled in it. Probably because we allowed it in. We didn't stand. Whatever it may be. But whatever's ensnared you, if you continue to let it ensnare you, it will seem too big for you. You will be overwhelmed. Give it to the Lord. Let him, you just stand. Take a bite. Right? Just take a bite. Push out what doesn't belong and let God deal with the rest of it. And so he says, they're saying, well, what if we're too big? And this is what he says. He goes, go back to your spiritual markers. That's what he says. You remember? He says, remember well. In other words, he says, look back, not at all your sins, not at all the things that hang you up and you wish you hadn't done. He says, look back and see all the spiritual markers behind you that God has created in your life, showing himself to be faithful to you. And that should push you forward to trust him. That's why it's back there. Yeah, it's okay to look back. We all have rearview mirror, right? Just don't make it so big you can't drive. Rearview mirror is a reminder. It's so you don't go back there again. It's so that you remember what God has done. And so here he's saying, go back to your spiritual markers. Do you remember what happened in Egypt? All the plagues. I gave Pharaoh every opportunity. The plagues were miraculous. Like, you couldn't have created those. And then you get delivered out, and what do you get? All the silver, all the gold, all the precious stones, all the precious fabric. And I mean, you were slaves, and now you're wealthy. God did that. He's like, remember that. We've got to do the same thing. I used to be in chains, and now I'm free. Amen? I used to not have anything. I was a slave to my sin, and now I'm free. I am adopted. I am an heir of my heavenly Father. My inheritance is more than I can handle. And all I have to do is look back and see the spiritual markers in my life. What are spiritual markers, you may ask? Well, It's a time in your life where God did something significant that changed the course of your life. Whether it was just a scripture leaping off the page that you actually paid attention to, invested in, prayed over, and was obedient to, or a significant moment in your life where God turned the tide in your life that you cannot forget. It stands out. And God has those for all of us as we're following them. And we go back and we go, remember when, remember when, remember when, remember when, remember when he can do it here. I want this back there too. So I got to go this way. And so he says, don't be terrified. I'm God. That's what he says. Verse 20, moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet. The hornet kind of just means, you know, his holy terror, okay? The Lord your God will send the hornet fear among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished. Don't you love how when God does something, he does it completely? I'll just hide in the corner of your heart, and you'll forget that I'm there, and then later I'll put you in just the right circumstances. It'll rise up again. You'll feel defeated. That's how Satan comes in, right? He says, no, even the survivors, if you'll follow me, if you'll take a bite, if you'll pursue me, even the survivors who hide from you who have perished, I will destroy even the survivors who have perished. Verse 21, do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. This God is the same God as the God today, and he even tells us, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he says, I'm among my people, guess what? He's among his people. Just because God is not evident to you in the moment, just because he's not moving in some fantastic kind of way, don't give up. God is always at work. We judge ourselves so harshly, and we judge others even more harshly. Because when someone's not doing something that we think they ought to do, we decide that God couldn't possibly be moving in their life. We have no idea what God's doing in their life. He says, take the log out of your eye, and then we'll worry about the splinter in their eye. God's always at work. Always, always, always at work. And he wants to bring us to a point that we don't have to see him all the time. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to, like, have him be our babysitter. He's built this faith inside of us through all these spiritual markers. And he's saying, like, you're not a baby anymore. And I don't want you to be a toddler. Like, be a child. Walk on your own. I'm right here. But I'm not going to just give you these miracle signs and wonders all the time. Use the faith I built in you. Walk with me. I'm here. And he says, God is among us. He's still among us. And listen to what he says in verse 22. He says, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. What are the next words? Little by little. How? Little by little. Little by little. Increment by increment. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. God's going to do it little by little. I wonder if we ever think about that. We're so focused on the goal. We're so focused on being perfect, which we can't be, but we're so focused on that. Or maybe we're looking at other people and we're so inspired by them. I want to be that person. I want to be where that person is, that we're trying to do it in 365 days. I've never asked you in January, are you perfect now? I've just said, are you the same as you were this time last year? It's the incremental growth that's going to happen. It's the little by little. It's the steady progress. Get up, take a bite. 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 Push out the things that don't belong. Take a bite. Push them out. Take a bite. Push them out. Take a bite. It's like aerobics, right? That's what you do. It's a little at a time. It's incremental growth. You may not even notice it, but it doesn't mean it's not happening. Usually someone else will notice in you before you even notice in you what's happening in you. You want to know what your spiritual gift is? Ask someone else. They probably see it in you. It's little by little. I mean, you don't get up in the morning and your child is 6 inches taller than the day before. If they were, you'd freak out. But when I see your child after I haven't seen him in a while, I'm like, oh my goodness, your child has grown. And you go, has he? I'm like, well, his pants are this above, far above his shoes. I'd say probably, right? But they're growing every day. It's just a hair here. Just a hair there, but they're growing every single day. When you're working on that triathlon that you're working on, right? You're working on that triathlon, right? You're working on it. You walk. And the next day, maybe you just walk a little bit further or you walk a little bit faster until you can get to where maybe you can jog just for a little bit, and then you have to walk, then you jog, then you, right? It's incremental, but it's consistent. Incremental, but consistent. Little by little. God's not going to give you more than you can handle because you would defame his name. He's not going to send you to win a whole people group over in Africa if you won't even share your testimony with your neighbor. So you don't have to worry about him doing something crazy in your life when you won't even take a bite. So we got to quit freaking out. It's little by little that God moves in our lives as we allow him. Get up, take a bite. Get up, take a bite. Get up, take a bite. Move over to Exodus. Same story in Exodus. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus is to your left. It's the second book in your Bible. And in chapter 23, God is speaking here. Again, it's to Moses. This is what he says. Exodus chapter 23, verse 27. 23, 27, he says this. He says, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. So in other words, they're entering the territory that God wants them to enter, the territory that God has prepared for them. You and I also have territory that God wants us to enter, right? Okay. So they're entering this territory. So he says here, I will send my terror ahead of you, throw them into confusion, every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year. Get that? I'm not going to ask you a year from now if you are all grown up in Christ. I'm just going to ask you if you're the same as you were last year. He's not going to drive them out in a single year. And he tells them why. He says, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. What are the next three words? Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough. Don't miss that. Till you have increased enough to take possession of the land. If you're a single person, you don't need to live in a 6,000-square-foot house. You can't take care of it. And you don't want to take care of it, right? So these 2 million people are entering into the promised land, right? They're going to go into the promised land. And what God is saying is, you're going to clear out what I tell you to clear out, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Hivites. You're going to clear it out, and you're going to make room for yourselves. And in time, when you've established yourself, when you increase in number, and when you're faithful to me and you need more space, I'm going to give you more space. It's going to be little by little. So this year we're doing this. Next year we're doing this. The next year we're doing this. And you're going to grow incrementally as you need it so that you're not overwhelmed. 2 million people can't take care of the land that God's giving them. It's massive. If you go back and you look at in the Old Testament maps, all the land they originally got as God pushed all these people out, there wasn't enough people to cover that land. And so he gives them what they need in the moment. Be faithful to me, and I will increase as you increase in your faithfulness. This is our story, isn't it? God's not going to give you something that you're not prepared for, that you haven't crossed over thresholds for, and that would bring shame to his name because you haven't. God will never ask you to do something that you cannot do in his power and strength, or he'll defame himself. So he knows where you are. So if you're like, I'm not growing and God's not giving me things, look introspectively and say, why is that? Because God tells us in the scripture what he's going to do, why he's going to do it, and how he's going to do it. Right? So this is sort of proverbial, if you will, to our Christian lives. You want to go and grow in Christ? Take a bite. Then take a bite, then take a bite, then take a bite. Push the things out that don't belong as God is convicting you and convincing you of things. You keep taking a bite, and all of a sudden, you're going to awaken to some things along the way that God has for you, and you're going to have the confidence to do them because you're going to look back at the spiritual markers that he produced in your life, and you're going to be amazed. We get so hung up that we haven't grown to the point that we think we have to or other people think we should have, and we just get hung up in that. So, I mean, kind of think about it like this. Like, say there's a threshold in front of me, okay? And I need to cross this threshold. But I don't have the courage. I don't think I'm strong enough. I'm terrified, right? So God just says, just move an inch, right? Move an inch a week. Did you see me move? But can you tell I'm in a different place? Probably not. Can you tell I'm in a different place? If you're not looking at my feet, can you tell I'm in a different place? No. But incrementally, if I take one step a week for 52 weeks, I've moved over 4 feet. And that threshold, instead of being in front of me, is now behind me. And it's one more spiritual marker that God uses to increase my faith in Him, that He will move. If I will just consistently and incrementally walk forward in Him, who will I be in 5 years? If I move 4 feet a year spiritually, I'm going to move 20 feet in my Christian life. How many thresholds am I going to cross along the way just because I took a bite that morning instead of trying to be overwhelmed by my list and my expectations? One of the things I'm learning in my Christian life is just to have no expectations, right? I mean, I know God is good, so take a step. I know God is good, take a step. And it's amazing what He does when we allow Him to do His job. He won't drive them out in a single year. There's something they need to learn. There's something they need to establish in their lives. You and me, same thing. Turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua is just past Deuteronomy, where you were a minute ago. Joshua chapter 24, it's the very last chapter in the book of Joshua. And Joshua has become the replacement, if you will, for Moses. The torch has been passed from Moses to Joshua. Just as last week, the torch was passed from Elijah to who? Elisha. Some of you were here. From Elijah to Elisha. The torch has been passed in this story from Moses to Joshua. And Joshua takes them over the river into the woods to grandmother's house, right? Over the river, and they are now established in the land. And they did what God told them to do. They pushed them out, and they are now inhabiting the land. And now Joshua has spent his days with them as their new leader, and he's about to go to be with the Lord, and he gives them a final commission, a final word. And in Joshua chapter 24, and starting in verse, I don't even know why I brought notes today, starting in verse 12, this is what he said. He again is quoting God, but listen to how he's quoting it. It used to be in the future tense, right? I will send my hornet. I will do this. I will do this. Now they're in the land, and he says to Joshua here in verse 12, I sent the hornet. You know why? Because God does what he says he's going to do. If only we would, amen? And so he says, I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. You took a bite. So I gave you the land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. That's a good God, right? Do you remember when the 12 spies went into the land and Joshua and Caleb were so faithful, right? They're like, it's exactly what God said it was. Everything was there. Cities we didn't build are there. They're already built. Guess what? We don't have to build cities. We don't have to fortify those cities. God is our defense. He's giving that to us. I mean, how great is that? Like, all that manual labor's gone. All the fear, gone. Not worrying about the enemies, you don't have to worry about it as you're entering the land. He gave them everything. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, vineyard, olive fields. I mean, he gave them everything. And they went into the land, and two of them came back and said, it's exactly what God said. And 10 of them came back, and they were overwhelmed. And so they didn't go into the promised land for 40 years until a generation died off. Listen, if you get overwhelmed rather than trusting God, you're going to die where you are. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to die where you are. And it's going to be what if, what if, what if, what if. I could have, I would have, I should have. And I just believe that there's a day coming where we're going to stand before the Lord. You know, and he says he wipes every tear from our eyes. People say there's no tears in heaven, really, because in Revelation it says he will wipe every tear from our eyes. And I just wonder what those tears are for. I would like to imagine this is part of it. All the things we did not accomplish that God set before us that we could have done to see who we really could have been and expanded the kingdom. And he's got to dry our tears over that. What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. Because we don't trust him. I don't want to cross the threshold. He gave him everything. Verse 14. So he tells him, you have all this stuff that you didn't have to work for. And it kind of reminds you of salvation, doesn't it? You didn't work for that either, in case you don't know. Jesus did everything. You got an offer. Free land. Verse 14, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped before the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers that served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. You want to serve that God? The God that God drove everybody out and away from? But God in his graciousness will let us. He'll let us serve. And listen, this is the mentality that we sometimes have, is we think, well, I mean, I'm not serving anybody. Yes, you are. There is no serving nobody. It may be the God of money. It may be the God of whatever sin you dabble in, but it has power over you. And if that tension is there, that's proof of that. Right? You're going to serve someone. So Joshua says to the crowd, he goes, this is what God gave you. But if you don't want to do that, God's not going to make you do that. But you're going to be the same as you were this time last year. Instead of having moved forward into 2025, it's going to be another brochure with another frustration laid on the altar. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. It's like wink, wink, hint, hint. You got their land because you served him. Don't you want to follow him? And then Joshua makes a stand and he says, but as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. He just stood. We're going to serve the Lord. I'm your leader. I can't ask you to do something that, right, that I'm not doing. So Joshua just establishes himself. You can do whatever you want, but I'm going to serve the Lord. And listen to what the people do. It says, then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord, our God himself, forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord, our God himself, who brought us and our forefathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs, right? The remember well the history, right? Those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. I mean, like Joshua's got this rally going, right? And he's like, this is my final farewell speech. And he gets them all excited. And they're like, oh, no, us too, us too. Have you ever got excited about God and then when the new wore off, you weren't excited anymore? That's Israel's story. And so they're excited and they want to do it. And that's great. But in verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. And then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. This is why people run from me in the grocery store. This verse, Bobby, this is why people run from me in the grocery store. Because they made a public statement, a public witness of who they were, and then they didn't follow through. I can't tell you how many people have told me a very good and convincing story about wanting to follow God. They've been baptized, I baptized them, and I never see them again. And that's between them and the Lord. I'm not saying they're not saying, I don't know what happened. I just know when I see them in the grocery store, they run to the other aisle real quick. And I run to the other aisle too. And I'm like, see ya. And I'll go over there, and before you even get to it, like, no. The reason I haven't been in church, I'm like, I didn't ask. They're witnesses against themselves. Their consciences are pricked, right? And so Joshua says, okay, You want to follow the Lord? You said it with your own mouth. You are now witnesses against yourself. Two or three witnesses, right? You're witnesses against yourself. They're like, oh, yes, we're witnesses. And then they married the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the right? Isaac himself, his son Esau, married the very people he wasn't supposed to marry. And Rebekah and Isaac were so torn about it. No wonder Jacob was the favorite son. And wars between tribes happened because we have good intentions, like we talked about at the beginning of the year, but we have terrible follow-through. And I really think that we have terrible follow-through because we expect God to do everything for us in a year. And it just doesn't work that way. That's why you've been given a whole lifetime, right, to serve the Lord. Your life is not about working, earning money, going on vacation. It's the benefit of your life, okay? We got to get the order right. It's the benefit of your life. All the things you have are blessings and benefits of your life. But your purpose is serving the Lord. The reason you work where you work at that job you focused on hating so much, change your focus to what God has you there to say to those people who he is. Maybe then he'll move you incrementally to the next place. And then you'll see that as a spiritual marker behind you instead of this obstacle in front of you. God says, I trust you with a little, then I expect you to do a little. I'm not going to give you a lot if you won't do the little. But if I give you a lot, then I'm going to trust you with the lot. So the question becomes, just look behind you. How many spiritual markers do you have that may be in correlation with where you are in your relationship and why or why not God is giving you the things he is or is not giving you, right? So as we look forward 5 years from now in 2025 and dream about, and that's a good thing, dream about who you can be, the solution is this. Throw the list away and take a bite. And then tomorrow, take a bite. Jesus says there's enough trouble today. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Quit trying to overeat, right? Take a bite and chew on it. Savor that bite. Let it go down like honey, right? I mean, just savor the bite. Experience God. Chew on it. See what he wants to say to you. You know there's nothing wrong with spending a whole week on one verse of Scripture? Just chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it. And then you swallow. I mean, this is the elephant, right? How do you read a book? Let me ask you, unless you're a speed reader, is this how you read the book? Oh, that was a good book. Man, if that was the case, I'd be ahead on my book reading list. No, you don't read the book all, you don't read the book one chapter at a time. You don't read a book one page at a time. You don't read the book one paragraph at a time, one sentence at a time. You don't even read it one word at a time. You have to read it one letter at a time. And if you haven't done the hard work back here in your spiritual markers to learn the alphabet, the word will never make sense. See, it's in this stuff that doesn't feel good, in this stuff where you don't see God moving and so you don't realize he's among you, but he is. And he's saying, well, just learn the alphabet. Ah, ah, A. Like, that's just the letter A. Then you got to go to letter B. What does it do? What does it do? I'm just making sure you knew. First sound you ever made as a baby, buh, right? Learn the alphabet. Learn how to pronounce the different letters. It's this gradual incremental thing where you think nothing's happening. But all of a sudden, when it says speed limit 55, you can read that sign. Now, I know you're going 75, but you can read the sign. And what you do is you look at the sign, you look at the number, and you gauge because you're smart, because you learned your alphabet and you learned to read and all those different things. You can gauge how far you think you can go before it might be too much, right? But it's because you learned the basics. And now you know how to read. And you also not only know how to read that sign, but you know how to interpret that sign. That sign, without even saying it, says the speed limit is 55. And if you go over the speed limit, you just possibly could get a ticket. It's going to cost you a lot of money. It doesn't say that on the sign, but you learned how to interpret that sign because of what's behind you. Amen? That's how God's kingdom works. Quit overeating. Quit trying to eat what you're not prepared for. Get up and take a bite. That's what I'm asking you as a church. Take a bite. Every single day, one bite. If you need to chew on that bite more than a day, great. As long as you're chewing, I'm okay with that. Chew the cud. Knock yourself out. And when you do swallow, take another bite. Don't spit it out. Right? Have you ever fed a baby? They're constantly, right? Don't spit it out. Some of it's not going to taste good. But when you look back on it, it's going to be beautiful. That's how you get ahead. Little by little. And through consistency. Amen? I want to be something different. I don't want you to recognize me in 5 years. You might not anyway, because I'll be 60. Right? I kind of got this thing where I'm like, 60? Who do you want to be in 5 years? Just take a bite. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. What I love about this particular message, God, is that we're seeing you repeat yourself. And God, I don't know how anybody else is, but I need you to say the same things to me over and over and over again, because I'm slow to learn. I'm stubborn. God, sometimes I just don't get it or I forget. And God, I love in your word where you're telling your people, this is what I will do. And then you echo again, this is what I will do. God, your word is full of so many promises for us of what you will do. And then when we do it, then you talk to us in the past tense. This is what I did. I'm going to remind you of what I did. Look at your spiritual markers so you can move forward. You can step over another threshold. I'm always among you. You don't have to always see me. Sometimes I'm around the corner, but I'm here. Walk by faith. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to pray, these altars are